For it became him for whom are all things, and through whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the author of their salvation perfect through sufferings.
Jesus once said, "Who do men say that I am?" Matthew 16:13. That's a good question. Who is Jesus? Whoever he is, it appears that he is in a category that's very unique. When I have heard people swear, I've heard his name used a number of times, but I have never heard people swear by the name Buddha. Neither, as I think back over the years on the occasions when people have sworn, have I ever heard someone swear by the name Confucius. But people use the name of Jesus whether they believe in him or not. Who is Jesus? Well, we could answer this question in a general way. We could say that Jesus was a good man who did a number of good things. That's what the Bible says, Acts 10:38. He produced food on different occasions for people who was hungry. He was kind to children. There was at least one occasion when he drove people out of a temple area with a whip. He cursed and killed a fig tree. He was someone who preached on hell more than any other Bible character. These facts are all true, but they do not tell us who Jesus is. The Bible describes Jesus in many different ways. My goal is to take some time to explore some of these descriptions. This morning we're going to look at Jesus from the standpoint of leadership. A few minutes ago Josh read from Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10. That passage, Hebrews 2:10, at least in the ASV, it uses the word author. The text says that Jesus is the author of our salvation. If you have the King James, the translation says he is the captain of our salvation. The RSV uses the word pioneer. The original word is an interesting term. It's only used four times in the New Testament. It's used in Hebrews 2:10. It's found later in the book of Hebrews in chapter 12 and verse 2. And then it's found twice in the book of Acts. Acts 3:15 and Acts 5:31. The next reference that I'm going to share with you is Acts 3:15 that will actually be read. In Hebrews 2:10, the best translation of the word may be leader. Jesus is a leader. Most of us know that leaders come in all shapes and sizes. Leaders lead people in a variety of ways. The leading of Jesus, though, is described in the New Testament very well by Acts 3:15. Acts 3:15 is one of the passages, as we said, that uses the word just as Hebrews 2:10 does. In Acts 3, the context is that Peter and John had healed a lame man. The miracle caused a number of people to sit up and take notice. The first century Christians were receiving a great deal of attention. In Acts 3:13, Peter said that God had glorified Jesus. God did this in spite of what the people had done. They had treated Jesus in a hateful manner. And even though that had occurred, this is what Peter said about the Lord. And killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Jesus is called the Prince of Life. The word that's translated Prince in Acts 3:15 is the same word that's used in Hebrews 2, verse 10. In Acts 3:15, the word Prince means the one who leads into life. If you will, think for a moment about that definition. Jesus is the one who leads people into life. He's not just a leader, but he's the kind of people that leads people into life. And that reminds us perhaps of what Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, "I am the way and the truth and the life." The Lord, even in John 14, was claiming to be a leader. The Lord's claim to leadership is further described in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Again, if you will recall, this is one of the places where the word used in Hebrews 12:2 and Acts 3:15 is also found. In Hebrews 12:2, this word has been defined as the leader of the faith. The writer said, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Jesus is the leader of our faith. Well, what kind of leader is the Lord? He is the type of leader that, according to Hebrews 12:2, makes our faith perfect. He's also the kind of leader that gets us to the goal. He's the one who's going to take us to the destination that we want. In life, most of us have seen some bad leaders. If you've been in the church for very long or you have worshipped in different places, you probably know that there have been some bad leaders in the church. There are poor leaders in the work world. If you've worked in the work world for at least a short period of time, you recognize that. We have been exposed to political leaders that we don't like, both in this country and abroad. Perhaps we have been associated with some kind of civic organization and we did not like the leadership in that organization. We find leaders who are weak. There are the leaders who are domineering and bossy. Some leaders are fine until a crisis comes, and then they collapse under the pressure. And then there are poor leaders who finally begin to get with the program when a crisis arrives. None of these characteristics, though, describe Jesus and his leadership. Jesus is a leader who is unlike all others. Someone has said, someone familiar with the area of leadership, that a good leader has these qualities. I believe there are four of them. First of all, a good leader has a vision for his organization and for his people. Such a person understands the big picture. This kind of person knows where he is, who he is, where he's going, and how to get there. Secondly, a leader, a good leader, lives the vision that he has. Thirdly, a good leader attracts others to himself. Fourthly, the best leaders confront and defeat the things or the people who oppose them, who confront them. This may not be an exhaustive list, but this is a pretty good description of a Lord. The Lord is an excellent leader because, first of all, he has a vision. At the present time, Jesus is involved in a building program. That's what the New Testament teaches. He is currently involved in a massive project. The Bible describes this project in different places. I will read the description that Peter offered in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. Peter affirmed that Jesus is building a house, if you will, a temple, a spiritual structure. He, as he builds this structure, the Bible says, is using people. It's hard enough to build a structure using man-made materials, normal construction materials, but the Bible says Jesus is using something that's much more complex. The fifth verse from 1 Peter 2:5 says, "He also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Jesus is a builder, and he has taken the lead in this building project. He's someone who understands the big picture. He, as a leader, has already laid the foundation for his house, and he was willing to pay the price. He died on the cross. He's already gone ahead to prepare a place for his people in heaven. At the present time, 1 Peter 2:5 affirms that he is building a house. He's leading the way in this construction project that will be a place that is fit for God. A second quality of leadership that was mentioned is that a good leader actually lives his vision. And we can say that Jesus is someone who lives his plan. Jesus envisioned people living and abiding by the will of God. He envisioned people becoming part of a spiritual house. Instead of having a plan that sounded good or looked good, but not being very practical or not trying to implement it, the Bible teaches that Jesus became personally involved. He left heaven when he could have, and so he could come to earth and give us a personal example. Some try to lead people by giving them a bunch of orders. Have you ever had someone try to lead you in that way? They just give you a bunch of orders and say, "Go off and do the job." I've worked with some people who were leaders who left me in that situation. Others simply say they have a leadership style which says, "Hey, figure this out on your own. It's your problem. Deal with it." That's not how Jesus works. Jesus is the kind of leader who goes first. The Bible teaches that he is the kind of leader who literally leads. He went up against Satan. He led the way when it comes to fighting Satan and the battles that he puts before us. He died a horrible death. He led the way with respect to that. And he experienced a resurrection. That bothers a lot of people. Death and the resurrection. What's going to happen? The Bible says that Jesus has gone first. Jesus is the kind of leader who is willing to go before his people, and he has. Because Jesus is this type of leader, he attracts some other people. And the people in this room, to one degree or another, have been attracted to the Lord. Why? Well, it's not because Jesus has offered us material possessions. It's not because he's offered us a better job or prestige. Jesus is a leader who is taking people to the best place that man has ever known. And that is attractive to other people. In addition to leading his people, Jesus is ready to do battle with those who oppose him. One of the good qualities of a good leader is that he's willing to oppose the people and the things that confront him in his mission. And that's exactly what Jesus does. The Bible teaches that he's on the throne right now. He's reigning, and he confronts, and he is willing to defeat and will overcome his opposition. Jesus defeated Satan when he died as a sinless sacrifice. He whipped Satan a second time when he returned from the dead. Satan took another licking when Jesus established the church. And when Christ returned to heaven and went back to glory, the devil must have realized that he lost. The New Testament also teaches that at the right time, Satan and his helpers will be permanently destroyed. The person that we know as Jesus Christ is a leader. The Bible says that he's a leader. Not only is he a leader, the Bible teaches that he's the best leader. He's a successful leader. He's a conquering leader. And he's the only leader who can succeed in saving man. He's the only leader who can save anyone, and everyone. When we look to Jesus, we are looking at a true leader. For the last two passages this morning, I want to read both from Matthew and Mark. The Matthew reference is found in Matthew chapter 9. According to Matthew, there was a man who came to see Jesus. If you look at the parallel accounts, one of which is Mark 5:22, you find that this man was a ruler of the synagogue, and his name was Jairus. According to Matthew, this man came to see Jesus because he had a problem. He had a daughter. We don't know how old she was, but she was sick. She was very ill, and this man wanted Jesus to heal her. Even though he was a man who had some prominence, even though he was a man who in his own right was a leader, he came to see a different leader. While he yet spake these things unto him, behold, there came a ruler, an official, a leader of the synagogue, and worshipped him, saying, "My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her." She'd been sick, she had died, but he said, "If you, Jesus, will it, she will be healed." Here was a man who had a significant position. And yet, in spite of his leadership role, he recognized who the true leader of men is. The next reference comes from Mark chapter 4. Jesus was in a boat, and Mark tells us that he was sleeping. A great storm arose. The Bible says in Mark 4, verse 37, that the boat that the people were in began to fill with water. The men on board this boat were fishermen. They were experienced with problems like this. And since they were fishermen, it seems to be a fair inference that they must have had some degree of leadership. But the Bible says this in Mark 4, verse 38. He himself, that is Jesus, was in the stern asleep on the cushion, and they awaken and say unto him, "Teacher, carest thou not that we perish? Whatever leadership qualities that these men had, they put them aside, and they turned to the one who was the true leader. They recognized Jesus for the kind of leader that he was. They came to Jesus, thinking that he would save them, and he did. When we think about Jesus Christ, Hebrews 12:2, whether it's Acts 3:15, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10, or the reference from Acts chapter 5 and verse 31, we are continually reminded that Jesus Christ is the most important leader that the world will ever see. When we hear the name Jesus, whether we use that in our assembly, we read that in Scripture, or we think about him throughout the week, the question that should be on our minds is he my leader? Is he the one that I follow? Is he the one that leads me? In fact, way back in the Old Testament, you remember from Psalm 23, David talked about God from the standpoint of leadership. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me." We remember how the rest of that psalm goes. He recognized that God is the right leader. And for the Christian, Jesus has come to the earth, and he is willing to lead us, and he wants to lead us. But as we look at life, we find that there are some people who are unwilling to be led. There are individuals that we know, perhaps some even within the church, who insist on being boss. There are some who insist on living by the rules that they set. The Bible, though, says that if we're going to be saved, we can have only one spiritual leader, and that's Jesus Christ. He leads, and we follow. That's the only way we're going to be saved. That's the only way we can go to heaven. If we refuse to let him be the leader and the sole leader, we will be lost. If we truly follow the Lord, we can know each single day of our life that we're saved. If we're following the leader, the right leader, we're on the road to heaven, and there's no way that we're going to be lost. That's an impossibility. So this morning, Brian has graciously sung some songs that relate to leadership, and I'm grateful for that. As we sing the next song, the invitation song, the challenge to each one here becomes, are we going to let Jesus be the sole leader, the sole spiritual leader in our life, and are we going to follow him no matter where that course leads in life? Will we follow the Lord? And will we do that faithfully each day of our life? If we've not yet become a Christian, we may be close to becoming a follower of the Lord, but we've not yet joined the actual group. And the Bible says we can become part of Jesus' body, his church, if we believe in him, if we're willing to do what he said, repent. If we're going to follow the Lord, we need to follow his commands, and that was a command that he gave. And then the Bible says we are baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27. And that is important because that allows us to be joined with Christ, and then we continue to faithfully follow him and his leadership. Jesus is leading. Are we following? If not, and we can help you follow the Lord, either to get back with the program or to become a faithful child of God, if you've wandered away, we invite you to come as we stand and sing. God is calling, God is calling, hear, hear him calling, calling now to thee.
But from his presence come today, hear his loving voice calling still. Spirit in mercy intercedes, hear his loving voice calling still, calling now for thee. Oh, weary prodigal, feast is waiting there. Hear his loving voice calling still, calling now for thee. Oh, weary prodigal, come.